Silo 1. Chapter 30. Charlotte awoke in darkness, damp with sweat. Cold. The metal decking was cold. Her face was sore from it resting so long on the steel. She worked a half-dead arm from beneath her and rubbed her face, felt the marks there from the diamond plating. The attack on Donnie returned like a dimly remembered dream. She had curled up and waited, had somehow held back her tears, and whether exhausted from the effort or terrified of moving, she had eventually succumbed to sleep. She listened for footsteps or voices before cracking the tarp. It was pitch black outside, as black there as under the drone. Like a chick from a nest, she crawled out from beneath the metal bird, her joints stiff, a weight on her chest, a terrible solitude all around her. Her work light was somewhere beneath the tarp. She uncovered the drone and patted around, felt some tools, knocked over and noisily scattered a ratchet set. Remembering the drone's headlamp, she felt inside an open access panel, found the test switch, and pressed it. A golden carpet was thrown out in front of the bird's beak. It was enough to find her work light. She grabbed this and a large wrench as well. She was no longer safe. A mortar had flown into camp and had leveled a tent, had taken a bunkmate. Another could come whistling down at any time. She aimed her flashlight toward the elevators, afraid of what they could disgorge without warning. In the silence, she could hear her heartbeat. Charlotte turned and headed for the conference room, for the last place she'd seen him. There was no sign of a struggle on the floor. Inside the conference room, the table was still scattered with notes. Maybe not as many as before. And the several bins scattered among the chairs were gone. Someone had done a poor job of cleaning up. Someone would be back. Charlotte doused the lights and turned to go. Stepping through the place where he'd been attacked, she saw this time the splattered blood on the wall. She felt the sobs she'd wrestled down, before falling asleep, rise up to seize her throat, constricting it, wondered if her brother was still alive. She could see the man with the white hair standing there, kicking and kicking, an unholy rage in him. And now she had no one. She hurried through the dark warehouse toward the glowing drone, pulled from sleep, shown a frightening world, and now she'd been left alone. The light from the drone's beak spilled across the floor and illuminated a door. Not quite alone. Charlotte gathered her wits. She reached into the access panel and turned the drone's headlamp off. She carefully rearranged the tarp. It would no longer do to leave things amiss. She must always assume she might have visitors. With her work light bobbing, she made for the door, stopped, went back for her tool bag. The drone was now a distant priority. With her tools and light, she hurried past the barracks and to the end of the hall, into the flight room. The workbench on the far wall held a radio pieced together over the weeks. It worked. She and her brother had listened to the chatter from distant worlds. Maybe there was a way to make it transmit. She pored through the spare parts he had left for her, searching. If nothing else, she could listen. Maybe she could find out what they'd done to him. Maybe she could hear from him, or reach out to another soul.